You're listening to episode 43 brought to you by PrepDish. For your free 2-week trial, go to prepdish.com/lovely. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast for real moms who are seeking Jesus, trying to live their roles well, and trying to add a little bit more loveliness to their life, even in just the little moments. I'm your host, Mackenzie Monroe from boldturquoise.com and cultivatingthelovely.com, and today I'm really excited to bring you guys a fun, kind of holiday-centered episode with Dana K. White from A Slob Comes Clean. I was so excited to have Dana on the show. As soon as I read her book, How to Manage Your Home Without Losing Your Mind, I knew we were soul sisters. I just loved everything that she had to say, and she got it, and she just had this great practical advice, and I'm hoping that this episode will give you guys that same kind of feel, just some good tips for how to get through this holiday season without making things too complicated and being able to keep your house intact and really invest in your family and your guests. So I really hope that you enjoy this episode. If you haven't jumped over to our Facebook group yet, Cultivating the Lovely Prayer and News Group, I highly suggest you do that. We've had so many new members join the group in the last couple of weeks who I am so grateful to. They've been pouring out so much support and just encouragement to me. Thank you so much to all of you who've been doing that. I am greatly appreciative. Plus, it's just fun to see new faces in the group and hear what you guys are up to, see other people sharing prayer requests. I really love seeing that, and I'm hoping to have more happening there soon. The Facebook group really is where everyone gets their news first about Cultivating the Lovely, so if you haven't joined, be sure that you do that. If you haven't hopped over to boldturquoise.com or cultivatingthelovely.com lately either, then be sure you do that. We did do a bit of a site revamp for cultivatingthelovely.com coming into this latest season that we've been working on. And if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, be sure to do that. We email out whenever we have a new episode coming out or anything special that we want to tell you guys about. So that's a great place that you can go to get more connected with the podcast and be able to give your feedback and everything. I always love hearing back from you guys. One last plug, if you haven't jumped over and left a rating and review in iTunes, oh man, I would so appreciate that you would do that, because iTunes has this weird algorithm where if people aren't really commenting or rating it, then they kind of forget that you're really a podcast or really doing anything anymore. And so when you guys are able to leave those ratings and reviews, it reminds iTunes that, oh yeah, there are people listening to this show and it's still going on, and then it shares it with other people. And it's so helpful to me, and I'm just so grateful when you're able to share the show out to other people. If you're enjoying it, then hopefully other people would enjoy it also. And so be sure to tell your friends and leave ratings and reviews. That's all hugely helpful and an amazing way to support. So thank you so much to all of you who have done that and for all of you who are about to. All right, without further ado, let's jump into this episode with Dana. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you on because I am a huge fan of your book, How to Manage Your Home Without Losing Your Mind. And I read it last spring, and it's so funny and it's so wonderful, but we're going to get into more of that in a second. For people who aren't familiar with who you are, would you mind introducing yourself?
Well, I'm Dana K. White. I always put the K in there because I don't know if you're an Ultimate Fighting fan or not, but... I'm not personally, but I know that the guy who like owns it or runs it or something is named Dana White. I know
that
because
that's hilarious.
Yeah, I will never own danawhite.com. So just so you know, it's so that I put the little K in there to kind of, you know, just to clarify. But I'm Dana K. White, and I have a blog called aslobcomesclean.com. And that is something I started as a practice blog about, I guess it's been right at 8 years ago. It was in 2009. Yeah. And I really thought I was just going to kind of learn about blogging while I got my house under control, because my house had always been a disaster and I'd tried everything. But it turned out, obviously, that it was not just a practice blog. But it took time for me to accept that fact. But basically, you know, over the years, I've chronicled figuring out how to keep my home under control, even though that comes very unnaturally to me, or does not come to me naturally, I guess you could say better. And, you know, over time, I've learned that while I don't have the gift of keeping a house perfect, I do have the gift of explaining it to other people.
I totally get that. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll explain it to those of us who are like baffled by how it is that some people seem to just naturally have a home that's picked up and neat and nice all the time. And we just look at them and go, what?
Anyway, what gene so is me. That you have that I'm missing? You know, that's what I think of those people.
Yes, exactly.
Well, like I said, I read your book and it's so practical and real and funny, but also like very frank, which I adored. I already feel like I could read the book again because, you know, it's kind of like you go into different seasons. I was actually just listening to your podcast episode today from the end of summer, beginning of fall. And it's like you go through different seasons and you kind of have to readjust and get back on track and that kind of thing. And I feel like that's right where I'm at. Like I could use reading your book again as a nice fresh slap upside the head, like get it together. It's going to be okay. You just have to keep moving forward. And I loved what you said in your podcast episode that it was like forward progress is meaningful. Like it's still forward progress, right?
Right. Even if it's not perfect or whatever, I have to keep moving forward. You know, I used to try to figure things out again every time I failed. Yes. Or every time things got crazy again. And I would think, oh, I have to figure this out again. And that was a big part of my problem instead of just going, no, I just have to go back to the basics.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I love that about your book because it's for women who, like you said, aren't just like naturally gifted in homekeeping. I know that like my house growing up, it wasn't an atrocious mess, but we joked that, you know, the closet was actually on the living room couch because that's where all the laundry right. was. And, you know, like my mom just kind of had that same thing and she was a working mom and she was busy. And so I think to begin with, I didn't really learn very many skills. But then even as a stay-at-home mom, like you talk about in your book, like you thought, oh, it'd all get better once you were a homemaker. And then you realized.
Right. I was like, oh. Well, that's going to be my focus. I mean, yeah. You know, everything else in life, once I put my mind to it, you know,
yes.
I'd be able to figure it out. And then it was like, okay, this is not even happening when it's my whole focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the last time I really felt like I had it all together was like right before I had my second kid and I was doing the fly lady thing really hard. And I was like, oh, we're so in this. It just is so natural. There's no way that we'll abandon this after I have this baby. Yeah, not so much. Still waiting for that to return. But your right. book has definitely helped because it's just for real women who aren't necessarily gifted in that area and who don't even necessarily always see the mess, which I thought was a really interesting point that you pointed out. Like sometimes I even have to step back and pretend like I'm a guest in my own home.
Right.
Like, oh, that's odd that those shoes are there and kind of do that. But I love your book for that reason, because it points out all of those things to us women who it may not come very naturally to.
Right. And that was a big part of it for me, was getting to this point where I just said, okay, I really, like you said, I really don't see these things. I call it slob vision. You know, yeah. It's like things just, I don't see incremental mess. I see it when it's perfectly clean and I go, oh, I love it. And then I yeah. see it when it's a total disaster and I have no idea what happened, or I used yeah. to have no idea what happened in between. And that was a big part of the problem for me.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I completely agree. And so if anybody needs just like a good jump start or just, you know, a good plan, because you even have a plan in the back of the book to help women to get on track and not be overwhelmed by it anymore, I highly, highly recommend that you go get Dana's book, How to Manage Your Home Without Losing Your Mind. But now my big thing for having you on is this episode is heading right into the holiday season. And I thought it would be fun to have you on to talk specifically about some holiday things with keeping the chaos at bay when we tend to bring a lot of extra stuff into our homes and there's just mm-hmm. kind of general craziness. So what are some ways that you think moms can stay on track even in the midst of just extra holiday chaos?
Well, you know, I think embracing the reality of the fact that, you know, the beauty of that season, of this season, is us having people in our homes, you know, like
yeah.
sharing life with people. I mean, as crazy as it is, it's crazy because we're stopping normal life to get together with family or to, you know, have an office party. And even though some, like, I've had years, you know, where maybe they said, oh, we're not going to do an office party this year because it's too crazy. And I really miss that because I'm like, oh, well, I like to see the people from my husband's work, or, you know, I like to connect with that. You know, it's all those things are good things. And so part of it for me is saying, I'm just going to embrace this. And as someone who struggles in my home, or, you know, this is a time for me to just say, okay, this is great motivation. Yeah. It's stressful, but I will regret it if I don't take advantage of this season. Yeah. So I might as well just say, hey, I will host something simple. Or, you know, I'll have my friends over for coffee or whatever. You know, we'll do, when my kids were little, I would say, you know, it's oftentimes I did it kind of while in my mind I was like holding my breath thinking, why am I saying this out loud? But I would say, hey guys, y'all come over and let's, you know, decorate Christmas cookies. And that would be my deadline.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I was putting a deadline in for myself because I knew that my kids would love that. I knew that I wanted to have these things with my kids, these times. And so I said, okay, let's just put it on the calendar. And then I would use that as my motivation to, you know, be extra detailed in the decluttering and the, you know, the extra little things.
Yeah. Do you have a specific process that you would go through when you know, like, okay, we're coming down to the wire here?
I do. So, I have a post, I actually have an ebook too. There's a post that I wrote, how to clean a messy house and get ready for guests. And basically, you know, it comes down to dividing up, this is how much time I have and this is how much I need to do. And then staying focused on that. The main thing that I have to tell myself is do not use this. Okay. This weird thing happens, like, oh my word, people are coming over for a party. Ah, I've got to clean my house. And then for some reason, it's like, I'm going to go sort through that basket full of socks that aren't matched that have collected over the last year. I mean, there's like this weird, bizarre thing that's like, oh, I've got to get my house organized. And we go to this thing that's been driving us crazy, but that no one is ever going to see.
Yeah.
And so the main thing that I have to focus on is visibility. What are my guests actually going to see? And I write those things down and I take, this is how much time I have, you know, and honestly, how much time I have kind of determines how detailed I can possibly be in this. But, you know, saying if I've got 4 days until these moms come over, well, I know for sure I'm not going to worry about the master bedroom because, you know, we're just going to lock that door.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful I have other bathrooms that people can go to.
Right.
No, not everyone does, but you know, we're going to do that. We're going to do the kids' room where I know they're going to play, and we're going to do the dining room and the kitchen and the living room. Those are going to be my focus. I am going to, you know, break that down into what I'm going to do. And the first day, you know, the first thing you do, walk around with a trash bag and just start throwing away trash. Cause that's a great way to diminish the overall mess while also getting a real reality check for what all is involved and what you need to do. And then, you know, work on the getting through the clutter because, you know, you can't clean when there's clutter everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Like
I used to think, I know. And I used to think that cleaning and decluttering were the same thing because they always were for me. You know, that's a big part of what I talk about in the book is, you know, separating those things, getting the clutter out so that it's not always something. But if you're in a situation where there is a lot of clutter, then that's the first thing, get the clutter out of there and then, you know, focus on the cleaning and get everything done with the whole goal of what are people actually going to see? What's going to matter to me so that I don't put these things off and then wait to the last minute and have to like throw things in, you know, behind to the garage or whatever.
Yes. I do that exact thing like you're talking about. I feel like, and sometimes I get into this mentality, well, I'm going to take on this big project that I know I need to get done because I know the rest of it's going to get, like, I have to get that done. So I'll just get this done because then surely I'll get the rest of it done. And then, of course, I'm just like, you know, a chicken with my head cut off. Like, why did you decide to rearrange the cabinets? Like, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then it's not as fun, you know, because, I mean, the whole reason I'm having people over is because I want to have fun. And if I'm completely frazzled and angry with myself, you know, for the 2 days beforehand, because I waited until this moment because I was doing the socks or whatever, you know, then it becomes something that, you know, it's my goal is that once they're there, they're the focus, you know, yes. Which means that the things I don't get done, I don't get done. And, you know, the reality is I have come a long way in just realizing that a lot of people need to see an imperfect house, you know, like the people are what matters. Like, you know, So let them in the front door. And if it's not, you know, make it as great as you can. I mean, that's my goal. I want to make it as comfortable and as clean as I can. But if I miss something, then I just honestly decide to take comfort in the fact that God wanted me to miss something and that the person who's my guest needed to see that. They needed to see whether it's to make them feel better about themselves or to make them feel at home, you know, and just whatever it is, there is real beauty in that imperfection and that it lets people know that they're my focus.
Yeah.
And if my house, you know.
I think it's a gift too, because we live in this Pinterest perfect, Instagram filtered culture where we think that, like, oh, everybody's got it more together than I do. But when we actually see, like, oh, they aren't able to do everything either, I think it allows us to have a little grace to feel like we don't have to try to strive for this crazy perfection that isn't possible. And whether it's just because of the stage of our life or whatever else, like, I take comfort in being in a nice, you know, like a clean environment, but knowing that people are human too.
Right. And, you know, I used to say that, you know, it would take me 2 weeks to get ready to have people over. And that was a week to declutter and a week to clean. Yeah. And that really was true before I started what I call my de-slopification process. But now I can be ready in, you know, an hour, 2 hours. But some of that, well, most of that is because I have habits and things that keep it from getting completely out of control like it was before. Yeah. But a big part of that is just this change in perspective and in saying, you know what, if I only have 2 hours notice, who is really expecting it to be perfect?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not, you know, and I don't know about you with your, I'm not sure what, how old are your kids?
2, 5, 8, and 11.
Oh, yeah. So you've got the whole range right
yep.
there. And, you know, sometimes with little kids, it's actually easier when you just say, hey, do you want to come over right now? Or do you guys want to come over tonight? Or, you know, that has happened a lot for us. You know, sometimes you need to plan it out. And sometimes you just need to say, hey, I made, you know, more cake than I thought I was going to make. And if y'all don't come over and eat it, then I will eat the whole entire thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, just that impromptu thing. And if that's the case, then people don't need to see that your house is absolutely perfect. They, you know, it should really match the amount of time that you had to prepare.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's really good advice. And plus what you hit on also, that you are able to be that prepared because you keep up on those daily things. And that's really what allows you to do that. So would you just, I know you totally detail them in the book and you've got all kinds of stuff about them all over on the internet. Mm-hmm. But for people who are new to you, would you just kind of give a glancing view of what those daily habits look like?
Yes. So the number one thing is do your dishes. And I know that's super unglamorous and there are some people who are probably thinking, why would anyone not do their dishes?
Yeah.
But, so I didn't, I would wait for them to seem like it was worth my time, which meant that anytime I did the dishes, it took me forever to get them done, you know, like an hour, 2 hours, whatever, because I would just wait until it was worth my time. So I had no concept of how long it really takes to do one day's worth of dishes. So doing the dishes every single day. For me, I have a dishwasher, so I run it at night and I empty it in the morning. And that's just, you know, that's the routine that works really well for us. So like for whatever that means for you and your family and your work schedule and all that, it's run the dishwasher every day or hand wash your dishes if you don't have a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And then I have three other habits. They are sweep the kitchen, which is really not about crumbs. It's about breaking through my slop vision, like things, you know, laying on the floor or whatever, just random things in the kitchen that I don't see on a normal basis. But if I'm sweeping, then I'm like, oh, wait. And I deal with things before they become a big problem. Then I have check the bathrooms for clutter and then a 5-minute pickup. At any time of the day, it doesn't have to be at a certain time, but just whenever. A 5-minute pickup every day, especially when you involve your kids.
Yeah.
and over time they really do start to be helpful, it makes a huge impact on keeping things under control. But not everybody has to have those same habits. You know, the main thing is whatever makes you crazy, as long as you have the dishes done, that's a have to.
Yeah.
But whatever makes you crazy, like solve that problem today and then solve it again tomorrow and then solve it again the next day before it's a problem again. And that's that difference between reactive, you know, cleaning and doing things as a routine. And then if you do it for 7 days, every single day, then you're going to figure out, oh, okay, well, if I just do this, it takes care of that problem and it never turns into a problem.
Yeah. And I like what you said in your book also, that you can't judge a habit by its first day. Like, it's going to take more time. Like you were saying with the dishes, like if you haven't been doing them, it's going to be a way bigger project. But then after a while, you realize, oh, this isn't so bad after all.
Right. The whole thing of things being done daily, it just has a much bigger impact than I ever thought it could. Mm-hmm. Back when I thought I really knew how long these different things took, but doing them every day, it's shocking how much less time it takes.
Do you happen to know what your Myers-Briggs personality type is?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have taken the test and I've forgotten. So it's whichever one would forget what test they get.
Well, I think you're similar to mine, although I remember. So we've got that differently. But I think a lot of the rest of it is very similar. So I just kept thinking that when I was reading your book, like, I get this. I totally understand what she's talking about. Yeah. So, okay. But
which one are you?
I am an ENFP. So extroverted and creative and that kind of stuff. Lots of ideas and projects.
Yeah. I love projects.
Yes. And that's why the house is so difficult, because it's not just a one-time project. It's this ongoing.
No, it is not a project at all. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm bad at the daily. That's what made me think about it, is the daily thing is like, oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
Well, as you heard at the beginning of the show, this episode is brought to you by PrepDish.com. You guys, you've heard me rave about them many times before in the past, but I really think that this season is the season that you're going to want to get in with them the most, because the holidays, on top of all the other school activities, can feel so overwhelming. And who wants to plan one more thing? PrepDish allows you to get all of your meals planned and put together in this lovely little spread that tells you how to get everything done in the exact right sequence so that you can have everything prepped at the beginning of your week. And that just feels like bliss to know that you can get dinner on the table in 5 to 20 minutes. They give you your shopping list. They give you everything that you need to do. All you have to do is follow the directions. Requires absolutely no brain power. And I know I can really use that right now. So I highly suggest you go over there. Plus, all of their menus are either gluten-free or paleo. You have different options that you can choose from. And so if you're wanting to make that adjustment to your diet, especially as we're getting closer to the new year, if that's something that you're looking at, I really would suggest that you try this out, because it takes all that thinking work out of it for you, and you can just do the prep and be good to go. So if you would like to try out a 2-week free trial, go to prepdish.com/lovely. They will get you all hooked up, give you all the goods that a regular member would for 2 whole weeks, so that you can give it a try and see if it's going to work out for you. I really think that you'll love it as much as I do. So go to prepdish.com/lovely. Now back to the show. Okay, but back to the holidays. So, especially as we get towards Christmas, I mean, not only do we have the decorations and everything, which of course we all want, but we're preparing to have an influx in just the amount of stuff we are permanently going to be having in our home with gifts and that kind of thing. So do you do anything specifically to make room for the new stuff?
Not really. I mean, I don't have any. I mean, I've heard such great ideas and none of those are mine. And the main thing I do as far as decorations is I do the one in, one out, you know? So like when I put something on a shelf, I take something off of that shelf and put it in a, you know, in the storage box where I had my Christmas stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So like when I put bring our Christmas mugs out, I put all of our mugs from the rest of the year away, and those go into the attic, you know, while the Christmas stuff is out, just because otherwise I'm not very good at decorating anyway. And it just became so, you know, mixed up together and cluttery and everything that I was like, oh, I need to replace my normal stuff, you know? So that helps some with that. As far as kids' toys and things, we try to do the one in, one out. I mean, my kids are older now. And so they don't really get big things as much, but, you know, as far as when things come in, you know, as you're putting them into the room, then it becomes a, oh, look, you got a new dollhouse. Wow. This is a big thing that has to go against the wall. What big thing are you going to get rid of? You know, and just making that a part of normal conversation. You know, what I call the container concept, meaning every shelf, every box, everything is a container. It's a limit. So it's not just for shoving things in. It's to actually decide how much of something you can keep. So like if the kids get new books and they need to put them on the bookshelf, well, you know, we have to make room for that. So kind of having that mentality is how we manage that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely wise. And I think last year was the first time I just really, even before Christmas, went into my kids' rooms and was like, okay, look, you're not keeping all these toys that you haven't been playing with. And like, you're about to get new stuff. We're going to get rid of some stuff. And I think a lot of it I even did when they weren't looking, because I just knew that they weren't playing with them anymore, you know? And I knew if they saw them, they'd think they loved it, but they don't really.
Right.
In all honesty.
And they're going to get new stuff. And so they'll be happy when they get that.
Did you ever, or do you like give the family suggestions of certain things that would be less mess inducing?
Yes, I do. I am very specific with, you know, what kinds of things, you know, would help. And we do a lot of, you know, it kind of changes every year, but we do try to do things where we limit the number of gifts that, you know, as far as not everybody in the extended family gives each child a gift, you know, we do per family and stuff like that. I mean, I do, when somebody asks, I try to keep a list. And my best friend is she's the awesomest at this. I mean, she has a list going all year long that she writes down, and I'm kind of scrambling in November to scribble some things on paper so that I won't forget it when somebody asks me. But yeah, I do. I definitely try to stick with that kind of stuff. I try to make, especially I have two boys, they're teenagers now, but you know, did a lot of, you know, a basketball goal or something where we could kind of give it to them together. It's something active. You know, I was more than happy to get them a trampoline when they wanted it, because, which I know different people feel differently about trampolines, but you know, it was active and it was kind of like, okay, here's a big thing, but it's not something that's clutter in my house. And it's something that, you know, is active.
Yeah. So I think that's a really good idea. We kind of did the same thing with our boys last year. My in-laws bought them like a mini pool table. Like, there you go. It's just like one thing that you guys can play with together. And it's not all these little pieces, because the little piece things are enough to just, it's like, I feel like I have a dare issued out to my family. Like, come on, I dare you to buy my kid a gift with little pieces. Just wait to see what I do.
I know. Yeah. I am not a fan of teeny tiny parts. And sometimes I wonder if I'm the reason that my kids aren't really a fan of that kind of stuff either.
Yeah.
Like, I think, have I, you know, somehow thwarted their growth in a way? You know, one of them might have been an engineer, but oh well, mama wouldn't let him have Legos. So, you know.
And my son is actually a big Lego person. I think maybe that's why I'm even more like, anything else that could possibly have little things, like, it's not happening. It's not happening. Sorry. Say goodbye to that. Anyhow, I digress. This is just a total side note. You just used the term basketball goal, and I have an ongoing argument, I guess we should say, with a friend of mine about what that's actually called, because you must live in the South.
I do.
I realized last year that people call it a basketball goal. Up here in the North, I have only ever heard basketball hoop. And so it's hilarious to me that, okay, you just verified that that's a real thing. Other people call it that, not just her.
No, it really, I mean, a basketball hoop is a thing, but I would say, yeah. Is this something that you attach to the house, or do you have it like freestanding in the driveway?
Freestanding in the driveway.
Okay. Yeah, that's a goal for sure.
That's so funny. Yeah, we would never even think to call it that. It's always
that's
the
funny.
Hoop.
So well, and the hoop, to me, the hoop is just the actual hoop.
And it is to her too. Yeah. Us, it's like, and I come from a town where we have something called Hoop Fest. And so it's like, just think like hoops. I don't know. It's so funny. It's funny to.
Well, definitely people use the word hoop. But yeah, I, of course, you know, my kids might very well correct me. But as far as I know, it's a basketball goal. So yeah.
I think it's just a Southern thing. I think, yeah, it must be. That's funny. She'll get a kick out of this. Rebecca, there you go. There's some validity to your argument.
You were right.
Yeah. So beyond all the physical stuff of the holidays, is there anything you do? Like, do you focus on trying to balance your schedule, or do you just go all in with holiday stuff? Or what does that kind of look like for you guys?
Well, I try to get it down to the necessities. You know, I mean, family obviously comes first. Mm-hmm. We do, my side of the family, we rotate. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's me, my mother, and my sister-in-law. And so we rotate every year. So every third year we'll have it at our house, but that really has helped to take pressure off, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of pressure when you have it, but the other 2 years you just get to go and enjoy and bring a few dishes and all that. But yeah, I mean, we try to get it down to, we're not going to do things just to be busy.
Yeah.
We don't really get to do a lot of like city things as far as, you know, I mean, we go to our small town Christmas parade, you know, but we don't go to a bunch of just kind of arbitrary activities out there. We really try to focus on the people that we know and those relationships and spending time with them.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and I found the years that we have tried to do, like, okay, we're going to go to the, you know, gingerbread decorating competition, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Like, my kids start to get in this mode where they just, like, they're expecting, like, well, what's next? I mean, come on.
Right.
And I hate when it's like they just become ungrateful little minions. Like, that's not what this is all about. It's so much more enjoyable when we just limit it to a few things, and they really are appreciative of those things that we're doing.
Right. And we try to take advantage of, oh, we've got our night tonight. We don't have anything going on. Let's go look at Christmas lights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing where, you know, taking advantage of things where you can go do it, but it's not going to take a huge amount of planning and time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really good advice to just kind of hone things down. And I think that's a good place to kind of wrap up our holiday advice. So I'd like to move on and ask you the question that I ask all of my guests about how you are currently cultivating loveliness in your life.
Well, you caught me at a difficult time because as we're recording this, I am finishing up the last of the edits for my next book that comes out.
Oh, fun.
So yeah, so I am a little like my brain is painful, you know, whatever. I am so passionate about reading. Like that is my escape,
yeah.
You know? And so I would say just taking my Kindle with me wherever I go, you know, because I can't work on book edits when I'm waiting for a kid to get out of football practice, but
yeah.
I can read my Kindle, you know? So
yeah.
Those kinds of things make me feel sane, and they make me just kind of, okay, I am getting to cultivate the lovely. I am getting to enjoy those few minutes here and there. So love my Kindle.
Yes, I think that's a really good one because it's just very practical. And like you said, you can fit it in whenever you have just a few minutes.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I like that. For me, I bought recently a new journaling Bible. It's called the Message Canvas Bible. And I have another journaling Bible, but I guess I was always kind of like hesitant to really do a whole lot in it. I think part of it holding me back was like, I didn't want to cover up the words because I just, I just have like, I just don't want to cover the words. But when it was the Message Bible, I was like, well, that's a paraphrase. So I don't feel so bad about covering up the words and that. And so I actually have it out on my table while I'm homeschooling my kids. And, you know, when we're doing really monotonous lessons like math or teaching a kid to read and they're reading incredibly slowly and it's my third child learning how to read, I color in this Bible because it already has like coloring pictures in it, and it is just
cool.
Such like a stress reliever. It's like I can keep my hands kind of busy and I'm not just like ready to pull my hair out because we're listening to the word cat being sounded out for the fourth time in a row. So that's like my little lovely Bible that I'm really enjoying right now. So yeah,
that sounds great. That sounds very much, yeah, I've had the same issue. I'm like, I don't know that I really want to write over. I don't want to do things over the actual words, but I can see your rationale there. That's really funny.
Yeah. It's just my new epiphany about the Message Bible. So yeah. All right. So now I have some questions that I ask all of my new guests. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Candles or essential oil diffuser?
Candles.
Okay. Cloth napkins?
Actually, neither.
Neither? I like it. Nobody's answered that before. That's so honest.
I mean, I guess I was like, well, if I have to, you know, I might light a candle before somebody's coming over to make them think that. But honestly, I'm like a no scent person. So.
All right. Anyway. So cloth napkins or paper?
Paper.
Okay. City or country?
Depends on the day.
Okay.
Probably country.
Okay. Yeah. Paper or digital?
Digital.
Okay. Shopping online or in the store?
Online.
Okay. It's 4 o'clock or whatever time you're making dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or music?
Podcast.
And what are some of your favorite podcasts?
Well, I love This American Life. Okay. Usually. Sometimes I skip a few, but I love those. I love Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. I love, I'm trying to think. There's one I've been listening to lately. Oh, Reply All.
Oh,
again, sometimes
one.
You have to skip some of those. Yeah, it's a Gimlet show.
Hmm.
And I don't know if you know Gimlet, like Startup is with them. Anyway, it's a business focused thing. Reply All is an internet focused thing. Definitely not something I can listen to with my kids. But it's really fascinating sometimes the things that they'll just delve into, these bizarre mysteries of, you know, like one time these people moved into this house and like everybody was, people would come and accuse them of having stolen their iPhone because their house kept showing up as where these people's stolen and lost iPhones were on the Find My iPhone. It was like this crazy, weird thing. And they like dive into that and figure out what's going on. It's just, it's weird stuff like that, but it's really fun to listen to.
That does sound fun. Okay. Yeah. Chocolate, milk or dark?
I'm allergic to chocolate.
Oh, no candles, no essential oil diffuser, and no chocolate. You poor woman.
I'm so sorry.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, my heart goes out to you. I'll pray for you.
Yeah. You should. Yes, do.
Okay. Sports or no sports?
Sports, just because I would be disloyal to my family, but I don't actually care.
Okay. So. That's a good one because my kids are into sports. Like I will be there rooting for them all the way, but given my own preference, no ma'am. Okay.
It would never occur to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
To watch anything.
Well, you're a theater girl, right? So
yes,
that's just, my mom and I were actually discussing this because she is in an office where they're doing fantasy football and she, they like said, everybody in the office has to participate. And she was like a theater mom, you know, and so she was like, I think I'm going to name my team Who's On First. It's like, that's good, mom. And, but we think that there should be fantasy Broadway. Everybody gets a different show that they're the director of and you all compete for like what actors you get to play in your show, who would have the better show. And we're just sure that it would be a hit.
It would be a huge hit. Yes.
Yes. For people like us. All right.
Right.
Live broadcasting. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Broadcast.
Okay. And what is your favorite movie?
Well, The Wizard of Oz is my classic all-time favorite.
Yeah. That's a good one. You can't go wrong with Wizard of Oz. Okay.
No, you really can't.
If you were to put yourself on the crunchy spectrum and 0 is totally not crunchy and 10 is like completely country, not country, 10 is completely crunchy, sitting by the fire with, you know, dreadlocks in your hair and your legs unshaven, singing Kumbaya, where would you be on the crunchiness spectrum?
A 4.
All right. That's a good, honest answer. I like that.
I mean, the hairy legs thing, yes, that would be me. But everything else, no.
Yeah, we're coming into
winter.
Depends
on how far we are into the winter, yes.
That's exactly. Hilarious. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't wait to hear about the brand new book, and I'm sure I'll be telling people about it because I'm sure it will be fabulous. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun. That's it for this episode, you guys. Thank you so much for joining me with Dana and talking about the holidays and Thanksgiving and all the fun that is coming. I hope you guys have a wonderful little Thanksgiving break this week and get to enjoy your families. If you want to catch any of the notes from this show, be sure to go over to boldturquoise.com/43, where you can find everything that we have there. And until next time, enjoy your Thanksgiving and go be bold and gracious.